Welcome to the Fire Up Coaching Podcast, your number one podcast all about the amazing world of coaching. Listen in as this internationally recognized and one of Australia's leading coaching companies share over 20 years of coaching experience and knowledge. We chat with fascinating individuals that will inspire you, industry leaders that will amaze you, and take a look at the current research and trends in coaching to inform you, all to help you ignite the potential within. Get ready to learn, laugh, and level up with our thought-provoking podcast and join us in making the world a better place using the power of coaching and the art of the conversation.
Hi, welcome back to the Fire Up Coaching Podcast. My name's Kathy McKenzie and I'm the director of and founder of Fire Up Coaching. And today's podcast is on coaching skills for leaders in the modern age. And there's so many complexities in current workplaces that I thought today's podcast would be really good to give you a sense of a framework that you can coach around. If you're going to be actually developing leaders in a workplace, you need to have a really clear process to follow and to understand how you're going to actually develop those leaders. I'll start with a bit of a metaphor about having a framework, but then actually being able to bring that to life. I actually have worked quite a lot in emergency services, and particularly with fire with fire departments through the department, different Victorian departments, New South Wales, Queensland. And many years ago when I was working on a project, I was given the leadership capability framework for the Australian Fire Authorities Council. And I think it's a really great thing to just use something like this as a template upon which you can develop the leadership capabilities that then you can coach around. If you're not clear on the coaching on the capabilities that you're developing, you kind of coach in the dark. And as such, I think I'm just going to give you a grounding today in what you might use as a framework. And I think this is probably 10 or 15 years old, but I love one of the quotes on the start of this document that is talking about leadership. And it's a quote from John Adair, and it says, "The word leader comes from the root meaning a path, road, or course of a ship at sea. It's a journey word. If your organisation is not on a journey, don't bother about leadership. Just settle for management." No one could deny that the last 2 years, there's not a single organisation globally that hasn't found that the journey they thought they were on has become very different. The pandemic environment has highlighted that management and just trying to tell people what to do is just never going to allow us to navigate the complexity of this pandemic world. When we talk about leadership, leadership is around having that adaptability and flexibility to recognise when the strategies that you're using within your organisation are no longer rational or relevant. They're just not working. Trying to manage people or micromanage people when they're in a hybrid work environment and they're working from home is really challenging because, A, you haven't got that constant eye on the person, and B, you know, you need people to have that responsibility and that autonomy. So the leadership capability framework that I'm going to talk about starts in the middle, if you're making notes here, with key capabilities. And from the middle of that wheel, there's seven areas that they focus on. The first one they talk about is ethics. And I'll flesh these out a bit more once I've done the whole overview. So they've got seven areas. They've got ethics, relationships, strategy, people, results, self, and influence. So let's start with the ethics piece. And potentially this is not an area that you coach around much, because coaching is around the areas that are kind of moving parts, whereas your governance and compliance and your ethical behavior should not be moving parts. They will be things that there's management around. You've got those. So ethics consists of governance and compliance and ethical behavior. Those things should be documented, and they're not something that should alter. To have consistency in an organization, you need to have some of those foundational agreements about this is the, you know, the safe way that we operate. This is the ethical way that we operate. And these are the things we require you to be compliant to. There's not a lot of coaching around that. That is actually management. However, if your leaders are not demonstrating ethical behavior, that's where that incongruence is something that you might start coaching around. When we talk about the second part of the capability framework, which is relationships, you know, there's so many things that you can coach leaders around in terms of their relationships. And in this particular fire authority document, they've divided it into four areas of community, networks, political acumen, and advocacy. Now, the first couple of those are obvious, that, you know, community is you, that you represent the organization positively when you're within your communities. And networks is, you know, about establishing and maintaining networks, works that benefit both your individual work and your organizational performance. It's more the political acumen you might need to coach people around, because we need to be sensitive to the context in that, and particularly after the pandemic, if you're working in a health context or education, it's not black and white. You know, you have to be very sensitive to the context and anticipate how people might respond to issues such as hybrid workplaces. You know, if you're looking at, I'm recording this at the end of May 2022, and I was coaching a CEO last week who said that his workplace shortages and staff shortages are greater now than they have been at any time during the pandemic, because not only have they got people with COVID, but they've got masses of people who are off with the flu. And it's really impacting on their ability to, you know, to actually operate their business. So you've got to be sensitive to the issues that are going on. The last one, advocacy, is around in relationships is, you know, making sure that within your organization, that your leaders are promoting the organizational vision and goals. And that's somewhat times, you know, if you've got people who are very detail oriented and have not been clear with how they communicate the vision, that's how you might actually you know, approach a coaching conversation with them. The next area, which is a very important area to coach leaders around, is strategy. And once again, this capability framework breaks that into four pieces. It breaks it into strategic thinking, information and opportunity, problem solving and judgment, and systems thinking. And depending on whether your leaders are naturally strategic thinkers, you know, we can draw that out easily when we use a tool like the Herman Brain Dominance Instrument that actually allows us to determine whether someone's more right brain and strategic in their thinking, or whether they're more left brain, rational, factual. If they're not naturally strategic thinkers, we might need to actually use some tools to help them conceptualize opportunities and to think more around possibilities and alternatives. Strategic thinkers, you know, need to be good at innovation. And so when, you know, when you're coaching someone in a leadership role, it might be around how they create opportunities through their communication of information. And the problem solving and judgment is coaching people around, you know, thinking differently or thinking creatively and innovatively in the way that they approach problem solving, and ensuring that they are not just getting locked into a certain way of thinking, particularly in this current environment. you know, having a rigid reality where, you know, things are very black and white is not going to get a leader very far. They need to have that fluidity in terms of being able to adjust the way that they're approaching something. And they also need to be systems thinkers and think about, you know, a whole organisational view. You know, if you've got leaders, and this is easily identified with our Herman Brain dominance instrument, if you identify that a leader is naturally very detail-oriented, that they naturally go to the minutiae, it takes a lot when you're coaching them to get them to think about that systems view of things and to get them out of their limbic brain, which is where they tend to be feeling, and you know, they get a strong feeling about having process followed and things being, you know, it's sort of staying the same so that there's not too much change. That, you know, there's a type of leader who gets very concerned about maintaining a safe, you know, a safe kind of comfort zone. And often as a coach, we need to use language that just gently nudges them into thinking more about the bigger picture and the bigger view. When we talk about leadership capability, obviously people always come into it. So when this leadership capability framework was developed, they looked at four components that a leader would work with people around. The first one would be empowerment, the second, diversity, the third, development, and the fourth, performance. So coaching people around empowerment was ensuring that you're enabling a culture to develop the people around you to perform. You know, the sign of a great leader is when they develop other leaders. And if you've got people who are micromanagers, they disempower. You know, I had a coaching session with someone last week, and one of the things that was really frustrating this leader was the fact that her manager or her boss tended to undermine her in meetings and tended to, you know, overshadow her when she was bringing on new people. And she was finding that really disempowering. And so my coaching conversation with her was how she could actually have the courageous conversation with her boss to ensure that she wasn't feeling disempowered. The other thing with people leading, and particularly in workplaces at the moment, nearly every workplace has a diversity and inclusion policy, and we need to be making sure that we've got the balance of diversity in our people, that we're not just employing a whole office full of mini-me's. I think one of the great things about the recent election was that there was a strong statement from women across Australia that if you don't value the diversity that we bring into Parliament, well, we're not going to vote for you. So, you know, that was a strong cry for Parliament to have a more diverse but intelligent mix. I think, you know, the people wanted independence, but independence who reflect the value systems that are more systemic rather than some of the, you know, the motor parties and some of the more obscure parties that have got in over the years. So that diversity is a really important part of coaching a leader to appreciate and to look for that diversity. When we talk about a leader's development, it's a leader who designs opportunities for the development of their individual as well as team performance. So, you know, a leader wants to be looking at the way that they continually can get their teams to embrace a broader way of approaching things or a more collaborative way, more inclusive. There's so many important aspects of development. And the fourth part of that, the people component of the leadership capability framework, is just around performance and making sure that they achieve and maintain and have a continual improvement process for the performance of themselves and their teams. And I know for myself, you know, sometimes that's the area where when we get really busy, we can actually just get really busy doing stuff and not actually ensuring that we're stepping people up in terms of their performance, making sure that they're expanding their capability as they, you know, as they have longevity in their tenure with an organisation. The next part of this leadership capability framework was on results. And for this one, particularly with the fire areas, they had four areas that they focused on. Client focus, outcome focus, expertise, capability, and responsiveness. And as you listen to those, I'm sure you can identify too when you're coaching leaders that each of those components could be, you know, quite a significant, could, it actually could be a whole coaching session. So, you know, if you're thinking about the client focus, how do you incorporate client feedback into the organisational objectives and systems? How do you take, you know, how do you make sure that you take client feedback and do something with that? One of the most frustrating things for anyone who fills in a feedback form is when nothing changes, and there needs to be systems for that to be able to happen. The outcome focus in results is making sure that a leader is achieving results by maintaining a focus on specific outcomes. I think one of the things I notice with leaders at the moment, you know, the pandemic has created such chaos that sometimes people don't even know how to chunk it down to what do we just need to achieve this month? What's the outcome that's most important at the moment? And as a coach, you can help them to, you know, get clear on, you know, our fire up framework. What's your focus first? What's the focus that you need to deliver on this month? And then make sure that there's the capability from, you know, in terms of both current and future needs within the organisation. So you've also got to be looking forward at times as a leader to see, okay, these are the results we're getting at the moment, but, you know, what are the results? What's the capability we need to get the results that we want in another year, and making sure that you're bringing on the people and nurturing them to actually be able to achieve those future results. You know, having that expertise as a leader, making sure that you've got the expertise yourself and that you're constantly looking at ways to build your own expertise, but then identifying opportunities for and using knowledge and experience to achieve your results. The next part of the leadership capability framework that I'm going to look at is that they've got the component of self. And it's very interesting, this whole self, which probably actually should be the first part that you look at. And they look at the four parts of self, which is self-awareness, personal courage, resilience, and lifelong learning. I was training our diploma earlier this week, and we were talking about how resilience has been such a big topic over the last 2 years, and that the word fatigue is coming up in coaching sessions continually at the moment. I had about three senior execs last week say not only are they fatigued, but there's, you know, everyone around them is fatigued. And I think the impact now of people having such a long period of not taking holidays because of lockdowns, et cetera, is really having an impact now, in that people have just got past that point of exhaustion, and even having a couple of weeks off is not filling the tank enough. So I think we need to really plan and coach our leaders around, you know, this next 12 months, how they adapt around what's going on to ensure that the people in their organisation, there's enough hope and optimism to make them resilient, even if they can't have a week off now, to give enough encouragement as a leader to have people able to see beyond this current exhaustion to some of the things that they'll be achieving, you know, to where they're connecting to later in the year. Self-awareness for leaders is a big thing that we coach around all the time. Every conversation I had last week was around, you know, the leaders understanding their strengths, their weaknesses, their motivations, the drivers, those unconscious biases, all of the things that get in the way of us being really effective. And for effective leaders, they also need to have this component of being a lifelong learner. You know, last year I did a program with a leader who kind of proudly bragged about, you know, he doesn't read books and he doesn't get into this kind of professional development stuff. He's just, you know, on his own journey. And it was really obvious that he was on his own journey. You could see his staff cringing as he said it. So lifelong learning is an important part of developing our own skills and our own experience. And, you know, there's a book, I won't even say it on the podcast because it's got a shocking name, but Mark Manson's book around hope. And, you know, I've resisted reading it, but, you know, I'm curious when people keep saying to me about something, if I hear it two or three times, I'll go, okay, you know what, I am a lifelong learner. I'm curious, I'll go and read that. Now, I've also read the book and now I can comment that, you know, one of the things that's important about our leadership is recognizing that the language we use causes us to vibrate at different frequencies. And if you read any of David Hawkins' work, Power versus Force, if we use, you know, swear words, and it sounds, you know, silly and almost like, you know, we're talking about, you know, our parents telling us not to swear, but the research and the science now shows us that we resonate at a different frequency when we use language. And if you've got leaders who use really rugged, rough language, we need to be conscious of the fact that we all as leaders role model the kind of behaviour that we want to see in our people. And if we're not aware that using really rugged language or swearing a lot in meetings, you know, if we're not self-aware and recognise that that actually brings the tone of things down, you know, we'll be putting people off because they're picking up that frequency. And we, you know, we didn't understand that even 10 years ago, but we do now. So it's important that if we're wanting to inspire our teams with hope and resilience, that we learn ourselves how to manage our own emotional states. And, you know, personal courage means that sometimes you'll be standing up for things or you'll have to be calling things as a leader that are challenging. But, you know, when we choose to be leaders, we're often going to be criticised and we'll have to make decisions at times or take risks and accept accountability that are a little bit challenging. So we need to be courageous. We'll often get criticised, but as a leader, you know, when I'm coaching people, I'm actually helping them to articulate how they're going to step into that space of courage and be the kind of leader that they want to. The seventh and final part of this leadership capability framework that I'm talking about is around influence. And this is a really critical part at the moment in organisations, is the three components in this particular capability framework that they talk about are important for influence are engagement, purpose and direction, culture and change. As a coach, when we're working with leaders, it's probably one of the foundational parts of our coaching conversations is establishing, you know, what's their purpose and their direction, and can they actually articulate that and communicate it to me so that when we're talking about the achievement of their goals, they're really linked strongly to that purpose and that direction. And often leaders have ended up, particularly, you know, if you've got at the moment when there's real skill shortages, often people are ending up in leadership positions because of the length of time that they've been somewhere, but they're not necessarily strongly driven by purpose and direction. And as a coach, that's something that we can really help to embed into an organisation, is all of their leaders understanding what their purpose and direction is, and then looking at the engagement of how they actually work collaboratively and establish positive relationships with the others around them. If we're going to influence others, we need to understand how to embed trust into every conversation that we're having. That's why conversational intelligence, I find, is a wonderful tool. Conversational intelligence teaches leaders how to understand the difference between embedding trust versus threat into conversations. And that then drives that third part of influence, which is culture and change. Effective leaders understand and capitalise on the dynamics of organisational change to create positive outcomes. Effective leaders over this last 2 years have been able to capitalize on how to build a hybrid culture effectively, and how to actually embrace that change rather than be challenged with it, and bring into the teams all of the new kinds of ways that we use technology differently, and how we develop accountability with hybrid workplaces. So, you know, having a leadership capability framework similar to this one gives us a really strong foundation around which to coach. And if you're wanting to be a coach in an organisation, it's incredibly valuable to first check whether the organisation has a capability framework, and if they don't, potentially work with them around how, you know, what they might find that is already developed. You know, it's not, I think one of the interesting things that I find when I go into organisations is that there's lots of good public service capability frameworks, and lots of, if you go onto the internet, there is so many already done leadership capability frameworks. And unfortunately, sometimes when you get a change of HR or learning and development people in the organisation, that knowledge of what frameworks were there previously gets lost. And so people start reinventing the wheel. I know, you know, like right back in 2010, when there was a capability framework developed in health called Health Leads. And it was very similar to this. It was around learning, engagement, accountability, driving change, and strategy. So they all have similar components. And the most important thing is to have a direction that you're heading in with your coaching. And that gives you a much stronger foundation to measure, you know, do your pre and your post surveys. You know, when you come into this leadership team, if you've got a capability framework that you're working with, you can do a measure of, you know, how much a person, a leader recognises that they identify to all these components now, and then after your 12 months of coaching, be able to revisit that. I know we've just done some emotional intelligence accreditation last week, and we had some people in the program who had actually, it was 12 months to the day since they'd done their first emotional intelligence profile, and it was just a fantastic basis for the conversation to look at how, by having that awareness of those benchmarks the benchmarks 12 months ago of where they were at with their emotional intelligence, and then revisiting that 12 months later, how rewarding that was for them to see that by putting the time and effort, and they'd had a lot of coaching in between, into their own development, what that had actually transpired to in terms of achievement of outcomes. That's a leadership capability framework. And tomorrow I'm doing a micro workshop on coaching skills for leaders in the modern age. And this is one of the things I really encourage. Know your direction, know which way you're going with your coaching, and understand that leaders in this modern age need to understand the complexities that they're working in. I look forward to next week joining you again on the Fire Up podcast. Thank you and have a great week.
Thank you for listening to the Fire Up Coaching Podcast. If you would like more information on coaching, becoming a qualified coach, or want to experience the power of coaching, call us on 1-300-FIRE-UP or head on over to the website fireupcoaching.com.au, where you will also find access to more amazing podcasts that will help you fire up, level up, and ignite the potential within.